On today's show, we're going over all 9 conference championship games for the 2025 college football season.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. And we are going to go over all 9 conference championship games for this weekend. We got 4 games on Friday night. We got 5 games on Saturday. And they are some monster, monster matchups. Let me go ahead and tell you. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, of course, jump in the comments. I want to know your picks on these games. And, of course, you want to be a member of the community? Sign up over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. That's where you get all of these stats, spreadsheets, and whatnot. But let's not waste time. Let's get to it. Game number 1, Friday night, 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone. Of course, on the CBS Sports Network, the Conference USA title. Kennesaw State going over to Jacksonville State. In Kennesaw, currently a 2.5-point favorite, total of 59.5. Jacksonville State won the earlier matchup. A lot of these are rematches, and we've got one here. This one, of course, a rematch of a game that happened in Jacksonville, and Jack State won it 35-26. And you can certainly understand why they would have won that game. Looking at the numbers, of course, power rating, we've got Jacksonville State by 0.1. The projected stat spread has Jacksonville State by 0.68. The last 4 weeks' numbers would have Kennesaw favored by 4.62, which is why that number is now out to Kennesaw minus 2.5. Jack State opened as a 1.5-point favorite, or at least that's the earliest number that I got. With a total of 58.5, it's up to 59.5 now. So we're expecting some points in this game, certainly. The reason why Jack State might have an advantage here would be their running game and the fact that Kennesaw State can't stop the run. Number 19 in PPA per rush for Jack State's offense, number 86 for Kennesaw State's defense. Both of these teams outside the top 100 as far as special teams efficiency. Both of them outside the top 100 as far as overall talent rank. So that's totally normal for a Conference USA game. Looking at the 5 factors rank, Jack State number 62, Kennesaw number 65. I mean, these two teams are very, very similar. But when it comes to just the random stuff that wins you ball games, Jack State is number 13 in turnover margin, number 50 in penalties per game. Kennesaw, number 80 in turnover margin, number 126 in penalties per game. Those are pretty important things. Is what it is. You can get into the actual 5 factors and why they're so close. Kennesaw much better as far as average field position. They're pretty good as far as creating havoc on defense and not allowing it on offense. There are reasons why Kennesaw is 9-3 this season. One of it has to do with their passing attack. They are number 40 in passing success rate, number 42 in PPA per pass. The Jack State defense is number 80 in PPA allowed per pass. That's predicted points added. Who can finish drives here? Jack State number 48 in points per scoring opportunity. That's when you get a first down inside the opponent's 40. How many points do you score on average on those drives? Kennesaw State's defense is number 74. On the other side, Kennesaw State number 111 in points per scoring opportunity. And this right here will tell you a little bit about that. Number 90 in offensive red zone conversion percentage. But Jack State's defense, they don't give up a lot of scoring opportunities per game, but they are number 100 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So, who takes advantage of who here? Jack State is better at finishing drives. Kennesaw State's defense is not very good at stopping it. But also, Kennesaw State not very good at finishing drives, and Jack State's defense is not good at stopping it either. So, who takes advantage there? I think the team that you can trust more is the team that can run the ball, that can hold on to the football, because they don't turn it over very often. I think Jacksonville State is going to win another Conference USA championship. So I think Charles Kelly has done a really good job here. Yeah, Kennesaw's got some flash and whatnot, but this is a big line move, and I think I trust Jack State to get it done. So give me Jack State plus the 2.5. The Sun Belt Championship, 6 p.m. Central Time, this one on ESPN. Troy is headed to James Madison. And yes, James Madison's coach headed off to UCLA, but he will be here for this game. And they just got ranked in the college football playoff top 25. So if Duke beats Virginia, there is a shot James Madison will end up in the playoff. The last meeting between these two teams, 16-14, James Madison win back in 2023. But boy, that was it feels like a lifetime ago. That was John Sumrall against Kurt Cignetti. Pretty wild, huh? James Madison won that game 16-14. Now James Madison is a 23.5 point home favorite with a total of 47.5. James Madison has been absolutely rolling teams. 5-1 against the spread at home, plus 9.3. Now, excuse me. James Madison 4-2 against the spread at home, plus 9.6. Troy is 5-1 against the spread on the road, plus 9.3. And yes, even though they have these horrible numbers, 83 PPA margin to James Madison's 8. Number 101, offensive PPA per drive, predicted points added per drive. James Madison's defense, number 6. It's kind of difficult to see where Troy is going to have success here. Their defense is okay. Number 56 in defensive success rate, number 58 in PPA per drive allowed. They're not great against the run. They're okay. They're number 54 in rushing success allowed, but they're number 89 in yards allowed per rush. James Madison's offense is number 15. As far as being able to stop the other team from scoring, Troy number 29 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. James Madison number 46. Now, the difference between these two is the fact that Troy is number 90 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. That's a first down inside the opponent 40. James Madison, number 3 in scoring opportunities per game. So James Madison's going to get down there a lot. They'll find ways to score, most certainly. You look at turnover margin, both are number 70. James Madison a little bit better as far as holding on to the football. JMU number 106 in penalties per game. Troy is number 57. This Troy offense is just abysmal. They can't run the football. They're okay throwing it, but number 126 in PPA per rush, they're just not going to have success at all running on this defense. Troy number 114 in rushing success rate, number 130 in yards per rush. James Madison number 4 and number 2 in those two stats on defense. As far as finishing drives, Troy number 61 in points per scoring opportunity, James Madison number 36. So if Troy gets down there, they'll probably be able to kick some field goals, something along those lines. The issue is that Troy is number 119 in scoring opportunities per game, James Madison number 3 at preventing them. So I don't know how often Troy is actually going to get down there. And that's why this line has gone from 21.5 up to 23.5. But you got to wonder, like, are these kids from James Madison, are they going to play for Bob Chesney? Or are they maybe a little distracted? Is there, you know, I thought at some point over the past few weeks that they would slow down. And they haven't. This still feels like way too many points because I've got James Madison by 17.86. My power rating only has him by 2 touchdowns. My last 4 weeks has him by a little less than 20 points. And this thing's out to 23.5 because James Madison has been just blowing teams out of the water. Even still, with all the stuff that's going on with Chesney taking another job, the playoff stuff, etc., I think Troy can hang around here. I don't know that I expect them to stay within 3 touchdowns, but stay within 23.5. I would take a shot on that because the number just feels like it's gotten too big. So I will trust my number here. We'll take Troy. Troy plus 23.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The American Conference Championship, 7 p.m. Central Time, Friday night on ABC. The Tulane Green Wave are hosting the North Texas Mean Green. So a lot of green going on in this stadium. North Texas currently a 2.5-point road favorite, total of 66.5 on this. The last meeting between these two teams was last year, 2024. Tulane won 45-37. And this is an interesting spot because South Florida absolutely blew the brakes off of North Texas in the biggest game of their season. And North Texas really didn't play anybody after that. North Texas number 125 in current strength of schedule. Tulane number 78. But Tulane 2-3-1 against the spread at home. They're just 6-5-1 against the spread so far this season. North Texas 4-1 against the spread on the road, plus 5.8. And they are 10-2 against the spread thus far this season overall. They are blowing numbers out of the water. North Texas number 10 in PPA margin. Tulane number 49. And a lot of this has to do with Eric Morris's offense. Both of these coaches, by the way, headed off to take better jobs. Saying better job sounds bad. Eric Morris is going to take the Oklahoma State job, and John Summerall is taking the Florida job. Different levels, obviously, but Eric Morris, pretty good football coach, knows how to coach quarterbacks for sure. This thing was 3 on Sunday. It has gone down to 2.5, and my issue with this, because all of the numbers would say that you got to take Tulane as the home team. They match up better, right? As far as the defensive line for Tulane goes, we saw North Texas against South Florida, who had better athletes, and South Florida just destroyed them. I think that might really be the only time this year that North Texas has played a team that just can dominate them at the line of scrimmage. Tulane's offensive line, though, is not great. And North Texas, not a great defense at all, but good enough. They can slow down opposing teams, and that is certainly something to pay attention to. The Tulane offense is interesting. Number 74 in PPA per rush, number 29 in PPA per pass, but they only throw the ball 46.5% of the time. They're number 38 in passing success rate, number 39 in passing explosiveness. North Texas, really good against the pass. But North Texas cannot stop the run. So if Tulane can get the running game going, which they're number 71 in rushing success rate, North Texas, their defense is number 111 in rushing success allowed, Tulane can keep the ball away from them and, you know, make them work a little bit. As far as finishing drives, Tulane is number 52 in points per scoring opportunity. North Texas, number 95 on defense. On the other side, There we go. North Texas number one in points per scoring opportunity. Tulane number 63 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. North Texas number seven in five factors rank. Tulane is number 35. This is a different level than what Tulane is used to. UTSA came out and did some similar stuff to what North Texas will do, and UTSA ran them out of the building. Ole Miss threw the football around a little bit, beat Tulane 38-3. Now, that's a different level of athlete and whatnot, I agree, but there's something about this North Texas offense. They've known for weeks that their coach is gone. John Summerall was in Gainesville on Tuesday, or on Monday. And now he's supposed to be preparing for this North Texas offense. I saw this last year with John Summerall, and they just fell apart at the end of the season. They beat Charlotte 27-0. Tulane did. But I don't feel like they looked great doing it. You know, I went back and watched on my ESPN app and was able to, you know, kind of watch through, see the key plays. And there wasn't really anything super impressive about Tulane, but their lines of scrimmage, when they want to, can be pretty devastating. The question is, do they want to at this point? And I don't know. North Texas, I know that they have been smoking teams. That offense is something serious. Tulane, number 64 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. They are not good against the pass. Number 74 in PPA allowed per pass. North Texas offense is number 4. Tulane, number 86 in rushing success rate allowed. North Texas is number 6. It looks like this North Texas offense might just be overwhelming. And that's the side that I'm going to go with. My projected stat spread has North Texas by 4. Power rating has North Texas by 0.7. The last 4 weeks would have Tulane by 1.57, which I found very interesting. But I'm going to trust my overall numbers. I'll take North Texas to get this win on the road. Give me the mean green, not the green wave. Give me the mean green minus 2.5 on the road. One more time, if you haven't already, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, jump in the comments. Let me know what you're taking on these games and whatnot, if you agree with the picks, etc. I would love to hear from you. The Mountain West Championship game, 7 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on Fox. And boy, it'd be nice if they would stagger some of these times. I mean, we're going to have 4 games going on at the exact same time on Friday night. 2 of them start at 6, 2 of them start at 7. Just ridiculous. UNLV is going to the Blue Turf. That is what the computer gods decided for the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Sorry, San Diego State. Sorry, New Mexico is what it is. Boise last beat UNLV 56-31 just earlier this year. Now, that was with Maddox Madsen as the quarterback. Boise's offense has fallen off a cliff since they lost Madsen. They did look a little bit better against Utah State last week, and they are at home. So that certainly plays into it. Boise certainly rated higher as far as power ratings, etc. Boise is favored 3.5 to 4, depending on the book, and the total is 58.5. So the total has come up. And part of that has to do with the fact that UNLV's defense is just atrocious. And Boise has now had, 3 weeks with the new starting quarterback? So he's started to figure some things out. He looks a little bit better now. He certainly looked better last week against Utah State. But UNLV, I mean, their offense has been good all season. Number 15 in PPA per drive. They're number 34 in PPA margin. Number 19 in offensive success rate. They are doing well under Dan Mullen and quarterback Anthony Calandria. But we'll start with Boise on offense. These numbers are not exactly accurate because obviously they had their quarterback once upon a time. And now they don't, but they are number 60 in PPA per pass, number 74 in QBR overall, number 54 in passing success rate. Well, UNLV is number 80 in yards allowed per attempt, number 64 in QBR allowed, and number 95 in passing success allowed. So I think the quarterback is going to have some time here. UNLV number 58 in havoc allowed, or havoc created, and Boise number 53 in havoc allowed. I think that Boise is going to be able to run the football, though. Number 59 in PPA per rush, UNLV is number 132. Boise number 48 in yards per rush, UNLV number 132 in yards allowed. It's just rough watching this UNLV defense. Boise number 67 in points per scoring opportunity, UNLV number 72. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that they're number 15 in takeaways per game. They're only number 53 in giveaways per game. That puts them at number 25 in turnover margin. Boise is number 34. They're number 79 in giveaways per game, but they are also number 15 in takeaways per game. So we'll see if, you know, the Whoopsie Daisy King, as Tom Fornelli once upon a time called him, Anthony Calandria, we'll see if he can hold on to the football. That is one of the only issues with them. They are number 59 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt on offense, UNLV is. And Boise is number 9 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. But teams only throw the ball 46% of the time on Boise. Well, UNLV only throws it 46.5% of the time. I do think UNLV is going to run the football here. Number 8 in PPA per rush, number 10 in yards per rush, Boise number 122 and number 115 in those metrics on defense. You could certainly see points in this game. UNLV number 14 in points per scoring opportunity, Boise number 112 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. As far as raw five factors go, number 53 for Boise, number 45 for UNLV. UNLV 5-1 against the spread on the road, Boise 5-1 against the spread at home, so there's not a huge advantage for either team here, other than the fact that Boise has just blown up UNLV the past, what, five times that they've played? I mean, it really hasn't even been close. So, and part of this is UNLV is number 130 in current strength of schedule, Boise number 72. So while Boise is 8-4 on the season, and UNLV is 10-2, big difference there is that Boise had to play at South Florida and at Notre Dame, and UNLV did not. So, big, massive difference in those two things. Looking at this, UNLV better as far as strength, as far as special teams efficiency and whatnot. Both teams are outside the top 110 as far as penalties per game. Both are inside the top 35 as far as turnovers or turnover margin. My projected stat spread has Boise minus 3.28. My power rating has Boise minus 4.4, but my last 4 weeks has UNLV minus 10.5. We saw this game earlier, but man, I think Maddox Mattson had a lot to do with that. I think this is too many points. I think Boise could still win, but man, this feels like it could be a much tighter game. So I will take UNLV plus the 4, and that's the best number we can get. But I'll take UNLV plus the 4 on the blue turf.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
Make sure and sign up over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or the easiest way to do it, go to bettingcfb.com. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. And you will get some bonus stats, bonus things along with these spreadsheets. I'm going to do them for all the bowl games, for the playoff games as well. Obviously, you'll see some of this over here on the YouTube channel. But yeah, join the community. Helps me out tremendously, keeps all of my hosting and whatnot going. I would certainly appreciate that. All right, we move to Saturday, and the Big 12 Conference Championship game is at 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ABC. BYU is taking on Texas Tech. Good gracious. Tech is a 12.5-point favorite with a total of 49.5 on this one. Tech played this bunch a few weeks ago and beat them 29-7. You still have a freshman quarterback who at this point isn't really a freshman. He's been through a whole season. I get that. But he's still young, and this BYU team, while they have shown a lot of fight and a lot of grit and just all that, they cannot block for Bear Bachmeyer. They can't do it. And this defense for Texas Tech is just outrageous. Let's start with BYU on offense, right? BYU number 22 in five factors, and Texas Tech is number one. Way more talent on the Texas Tech side, by the way, but BYU on offense, number 102 in passing success rate. They're number 45 in PBA per pass, number 56 in QBR. Texas Tech is number 9 in QBR allowed, number 4 in yards allowed per attempt, number 4 in passing success rate allowed. They are number 2 in havoc rate. BYU is number 24 in havoc allowed. Can you block them? Because last week against UCF, BYU was down to, what, 6 offensive linemen total? I don't see that getting better. And they may have more bodies available, but I don't think they're healthy. And with that, I don't know that BYU is going to be able to score a lot of points here. I mean, obviously, they only put up 7 in the first meeting. PPA per rush, BYU is number 25. This is kind of what they hang their hat on. They run the ball almost 57% of the time. Number 25 in PPA per rush, number 33 in yards per rush, number 34 in rushing success. Texas Tech, number 1 in PPA allowed per rush, number 1 in yards allowed per rush, number 3 in rushing success allowed. They're number 5 in offensive line yards allowed. BYU is number 33 in that on offense. BYU number 39 in points per scoring opportunity. Texas Tech is number 4 on defense. I mean, this Tech defense is just... I mean, what do you even do with them? I mean, it's wild. On the other side, when Tech has the ball, like this, the offensive side is Tech's weakness. Number 39 in offensive success rate. Well, BYU's defense is number 30 in defensive success allowed. Number 44 against the pass, number 26 against the rush. Tech is better at throwing the football, and that happens to be, if you want to call it that, the weakness of the BYU defense. BYU number 44 in passing success allowed. Texas Tech number 23. BYU number 24 in QBR allowed. Texas Tech number 14. And it's not like BYU can get after the quarterback. Number 59 in havoc, and Texas Tech number 55 in havoc allowed. So, I don't look for Tech to run the ball a lot. They do run it, you know, 51% of the time, but you're kind of going into the teeth of that defense, and I think they can hit some explosives passing the football. They're number 14 in passing explosiveness, and BYU is number 45. As far as points per scoring opportunity, Tech number 31, BYU number 37. The big difference that you'll see, though, is Texas Tech gets a lot more bites at the apple. They're number 1 in scoring opportunities per game. BYU is number 30 in scoring opportunities allowed, which is really good, except for the fact that you're going up against a team that right now is a top 4 team in the CFP rankings, and I still don't know how they lost to Arizona State. I know their quarterback was hurt, but my goodness. Both of these teams inside the top 7 as far as turnover margin. Texas Tech number 101 in penalties per game. BYU number 45 in penalties per game. I don't think that makes a huge difference. Both teams inside the top 50 as far as special teams efficiency. But Tech is just so much more talented. How this number has not gotten to 2 touchdowns yet, I don't know. Like, at my projected stat spread has Tech by 12, or 12.14. My power rating has it less than 6 points. But over the last 4 weeks, Texas Tech minus 15.5. We're going favorite here. Red Raiders, I don't see this train slowing down. And I think Lubbock will be celebrating tortillas everywhere. Texas Tech minus 12.5 is the way we're going on the show. The MAC championship game also 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN. Miami of Ohio travels to Western Michigan. Well, is Detroit in Western Michigan? I don't suppose it is, really. Anyway, this is a neutral field game. It's at Ford Field. But Western Michigan, this is their first time there in a long, long time. I believe PJ Fleck was the last one that got Western Michigan to the title game. But Western Michigan favored by 2.5, a total of 43.5 on this. These two teams played earlier this season in October. Miami got the win 26-17. Granted, that one was played in Ohio. My projected stat spread has Western Michigan by 2.61. My power rating has Western Michigan by 0.5. And my last 4 weeks has Western Michigan minus 3.19. So all very, very close to the 2.5, which is where it has sat, basically. It was at 44.5 for a total. It's come down to 43.5 on this. Both of these teams outside the top 100 as far as current strength of schedule. Miami's offense, number 95 in PPA per drive. Western Michigan's offense, number 100 in PPA per drive. So you've got two bad offenses going against two really good defenses. And Miami of Ohio playing for a third straight MAC championship game here. They did not win last year. They did win the year before that. Ohio won it last year. Five factors ranked. Miami is number 40. Western Michigan, number 43. Miami, the reason why, now granted, the numbers all say that Western Michigan should be favored, but it didn't look like Miami was going to get here because they had a change of quarterback. Daquan Finn is gone, and they've got a new guy, and they put in a backup that wasn't very good, and then they went with somebody else completely different. Name escapes me at the moment. Probably should have written it down, but he played pretty well, I believe, the last 2 weeks. So the Miami offense, I'm not going to say humming right along, but they're about what they were, so they look about the same. The issue is Western Michigan is really good on defense. Number 35 in QBR allowed, number 18 in PPA allowed per pass, number 42 in passing success allowed. Miami's offense, number 79, number 91, and number 104 in those. So they can't really throw the football. They're going to have to rely on running it, which they do almost 55% of the time, number 34 in rushing rate. Western Michigan is number 65 in PPA allowed per rush. Miami of Ohio is number 86 there. Western is number 40 in yards allowed per rush, number 34 in rushing success allowed. Miami number 69 and number 62 in those spots. So, let's look at who finishes drives. Miami of Ohio number 75 in points per scoring opportunity. Western Michigan number 39. So, Western really good at making sure that you do not score when you get down there. They're number 36 in red zone touchdown rate allowed. They're number 18 in defensive red zone conversion percentage. Miami is number 64 and number 95 in those metrics. So, I'm not expecting a ton of points from this Red Hawks offense. On the other side, the Broncos, not great on offense either, obviously. And actually, probably worse because they cannot throw it whatsoever. They don't let people get to the quarterback, but that does not make much of a difference because they are number 122 in passing success, number 126 in PPA per pass, number 115 in yards per pass attempt, number 115 in QBR. Miami's defense is number 44, 24, 29, 54 in those metrics. Just wild. So the only chance for Western to score is going to be running the football. They are number 38 in rushing success rate. Miami is number 61. But Miami is number 70 in yards per rush. Miami's defense, Western's rushing attack, number 70 in yards per rush. Miami's defense, number 28. Number 67 in PPA per rush for the offense there for the Broncos. Number 47 for the Red Hawks. As far as finishing drives, Western Michigan number 88 in points per scoring opportunity. Miami number 73. Miami much better as far as special teams. They are number 12, and Western Michigan number 105. Turnover margin, both are inside the top 30. Penalties per game, Western Michigan much better, number 12. Miami is number 50. And you look at five factors rank, again, Miami a little bit better. Number 40 in five factors, Western Michigan number 43. I think there's something to the fact that Miami has been there before. Even though they've got a brand new quarterback, etc., I kind of trust their defense more in this situation because Lance Taylor and Walt Bell in that bunch, like Chris O'Leary, obviously his defense has done great. Walt Bell on offense, I can't trust him. If you've watched this show for any significant amount of time, You know my thoughts on Walt Bell. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I will take Miami. I trust them. They've been here before. They know what it takes to win a championship. And Chuck Martin, been doing this for a long time, does not care one iota about the non-conference stuff. He wants to win the conference, and he has got his team in the position to do so again. So Western Michigan minus 2.5 is not the play. We're going Red Hawks. Give me Miami plus 2.5. All right, time for one of the biggins. This one on ABC, 3 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone. Alabama and Georgia in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Georgia right now a 2.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. That is up from the Georgia minus 1.5 that had opened. And I will tell you that Georgia has been favored every single time these two teams have played in Atlanta. And Alabama is 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread in Atlanta against the Bulldogs. Bama is 10-1 straight up in the last 11 against Georgia. Just this year, they played in Athens, and Alabama got the win 24-21 there. Georgia has certainly looked like the better football team as of late. But I believe the film guy, Mr. Brooks, would tell you himself, Alabama has the mental edge here for whatever reason. They can play like crap at Auburn, look awful, and then show up and look like a completely different team against this Georgia team for whatever reason. My numbers have got Bama favored. Bama minus 3.5 as far as projected stat spread. Power rating, Bama minus 2. Last 4 weeks, Bama minus 4.74. Make it make sense. I will do my best. The running game is still going to have problems, although it will look completely different than what Georgia played earlier this year because it doesn't look like Jam Miller is going to play. So Daniel Hill will be the running back here, and A.K. Deer is going to be the backup because Kevin Riley has a broken jaw. He's the third stringer, and Jam Miller got hurt against Auburn last week. Shouldn't make much of a difference because Bama's number 107 in yards per rush, number 125 in rushing explosiveness, number 75 in rushing success rate. Georgia's defense is number 11, number 6, and number 11 in those metrics. Georgia can defend the run. The problem for Georgia is Alabama throws the ball about 53% of the time. They are number 15 in passing success rate. Georgia's defense is number 61. Bama is number 23 in QBR. Georgia's defense number 39. Bama number 21 in PPA per pass. Georgia's defense number 63. So, can Bama finish drives? That's the question. They are number 30 in points per scoring opportunity. Georgia is number 69 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So we'll see what that looks like. Georgia, a huge advantage as far as special teams is concerned. Number 4 in special teams efficiency. And Bama's number 100. Bama gives up punt returns. They give up kick returns. They drop punts. You know, so long as Adams is back there, I don't think they're going to drop any. But you never know. Never know with this stuff. Before we get to Georgia on offense, turnover margin could be huge here. Bama number 19. They're number 17 in giveaways per game. Georgia is number 23 in giveaways per game. But Bama is number 32 in takeaways per game. Georgia is number 108. It's a huge difference between these two. Like, massive difference, actually. Because Georgia just cannot generate turnovers for whatever reason. So Georgia, on offense, they are number 14 in offensive success rate. Bama's number 17 in defensive success rate. Georgia is pretty good running the football. Bama has actually stepped up their game. It is a massive difference when Tim Keenan is playing because that man can do everything. They had him drop back in coverage against Auburn at a couple of different points. And this man weighs like 350 pounds. I mean, he's huge. He takes up so much space. So Georgia, on offense, number 38 PPA per pass. Bama's number 12. Georgia number 40 in PPA per rush. Bama is number 56 on defense. Georgia has gotten better as far as running the football, number 32 in rushing success rate, but Bama's number 19 in rushing success. So we're going to see what this looks like. Georgia, of course, starting center out. Both of these teams are dealing with massive injuries. We're going to see who has really the healthier football team. I think that's the biggest thing. Both of these teams could use a bye in the playoffs. I will say that for sure. So, points per scoring opportunity, Georgia is number 7. Bama's defense is number 22. As we said on the other one, Bama number 30 in points per scoring opportunity, Georgia number 69. I think that the Bama defense is going to be able to show up here. I'm curious about Georgia and their defense. Can they slow down a passing attack? Five factors rank. Bama's number 12 and Georgia's number 23. So many people have seen this game over and over and over again, and they continue to take Georgia. And I'm not totally certain why you would do that knowing the history of the matchup. Kalen DeBoer, when he gets into games like this, the man is a winner. And do I think Georgia is the overall better team? Yes. Can I bet Georgia until I actually see them beat this team? No. I know they beat them in the national championship game several years ago. That was the only time in the last 11 tries, and it took Bama's star wide receiver, really both star wide receivers, being out in order for Georgia to win the game. I think Jeremy Bernard's going to be fine. Ryan Williams, we'll see about that, but Isaiah Horton has been an absolute beast. The Brooks kid is awesome. Bama's got weapons. Josh Quavo's still out. We'll see what that means for the offense. Obviously, you'd like to have your safety blanket there. But still, until I see it, I got to go Bama. So give me the Tide, plus 2.5. That's the best number we got. If this thing hits 3, I mean, that's an automatic for me. Alabama, plus 2.5.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
The ACC Championship game, 7 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. This one on ABC. Virginia taking on the Duke Blue Devils, and Virginia a 3.5-point favorite, total of 57.5. Virginia won this matchup earlier just about 3 weeks ago, 34-17. How this Duke team got here still blows my mind. Virginia has 2 losses on the season. Both of them were to ACC teams, but only one of them counted because they scheduled NC State in a non-conference game because the damn conference is so big that they weren't going to get to play them very often. So they did their own thing. So let's look at the numbers. Let's see exactly what we're looking at. My power rating has Virginia by 2.6. Last 4 weeks, Virginia minus 7.6. Projected stat spread has Virginia minus 7.29. Very interesting. Duke's numbers, number 25 in turnover margin. Virginia is number 19 in that. But it's interesting. Duke is 23rd in giveaways per game. They're number 120 in fumbles lost per rushing attempt. Virginia is number 37 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt defended. They don't really throw turnovers. They're number 3 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. But, man, they lose some fumbles. And the Duke defense, it is just atrocious. For a Manny Diaz defense, it's just bad. Looking at PPA margin, Virginia number 29, and their defense is their strength. Duke, number 73 PPA margin, their offense is their strength, and the defense is so bad. It's number 122 in PPA allowed per drive. number 99 in defensive success allowed. And it's not like Virginia has been world beaters on offense. Chandler Morris has been okay. Number 72 in PPA per pass, 72 in yards per attempt, 72 in QBR. They're number 49 in passing success rate. But Duke, number 127, 125, 118, 121 in those metrics. So Virginia is going to be able to throw the football. And I think they'll be able to run it too. They're number 29 in PPA per rush. Duke is number 71. As far as offensive line yards are concerned, Duke pretty good at defending against that. Number 24 in offensive line yards allowed, Virginia number 50. Virginia number 34 in stuff rate allowed, Duke is number 9 in stuff rate. The issue is Duke number 61 in yards per rush allowed, and Virginia number 41. So these Duke numbers are just kind of all over the place. Virginia is number 69 in points per scoring opportunity. Duke is number 131. Third down conversion percentage, Virginia number 14, Duke number 128. Virginia will be able to stay on the field. They did it already once against this team. Kind of expect them to do it again. On the other side of the ball, when Duke has it on offense, they are really good throwing the football. The issue for them is that Virginia's defense is really good at defending the pass. Duke number 26 in PPA per pass, number 32 in yards per attempt, number 22 in QBR. Virginia number 23 in PPA allowed per pass, number 44 in yards allowed per attempt, number 33 in QBR. Number 18 in passing success allowed for the Hoos, number 24 for the Blue Devils. Duke can't run it. Number 113 in rush rate, and they are number 58 in passing or in rushing success rate, 81 in PPA per rush, number 78 in yards per rush. Virginia's defense, number 46 in PPA per rush, number 18 in yards per rush, and number 42 in rushing success allowed. So that might be the best opportunity for Duke to, you know, actually put up points, because that's the weakness of the Virginia defense. I still think Darian Mensah is going to have to be out of this world to be able to win this football game. Duke is number 28 in points per scoring opportunity. Virginia is number 24. And I'll tell you, I think the majority of the world is pulling for the Blue Devils here because they want to see James Madison get into the playoff. I think there is a world where Duke wins this game, and if they win it convincingly, Duke could jump into that top 25 in the playoff and James Madison fall out. It's entirely possible. But Virginia number 24 in five factors rank, Duke number 56. I've seen this Duke team too many times. I think Virginia is actually pretty good. I think the Hoos are going to go to the playoff. And this number, I don't think it's come up enough. It was 2.5. I already betted at that. 3.5 is the new number. I think it ends up closer to a touchdown or maybe what it was last time, which is 34-17. I don't feel like anything's changed. Maybe I'm nuts. But I think Virginia kind of wipes the floor with these guys. I will take the Cavaliers minus 3.5. All right, one more time, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and jump in the comments. I would appreciate that quite a bit, actually. So go ahead and help me out. Do that. Oh, and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. The Big Ten Championship game Saturday night. This one, 7 p.m. Central Time on Fox. And normally, there's a lot more hype when you have number one against number two. But for whatever reason, because of the playoff, the fact that both of these teams are in the playoff, regardless of what happens here, both probably have buys, regardless of what happens here, it doesn't feel like there's that sense of urgency. This one happening in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Indiana Hoosiers are going to be there. Ohio State travels well everywhere. I think you're probably going to have more Indiana fans at this one. They haven't been there. But at the same time, Ohio State hasn't been to the Big Ten champion or Big Ten championship game since, what, the COVID year, 2020? And Indiana technically should have gone that year. And the Big Ten changed the rule at the last minute and allowed Ohio State to take their spot. So maybe a little bit of a payback for that one. Last year, these two teams played, and Ohio State won the game 38-15 in Columbus. It was a splattering, as Josh Pate would call it. The last Indiana win against Ohio State was in 1988 in Bloomington. In that time span, Ohio State is 31-0-1 straight up against Indiana. And I don't see this one being a whole lot different. This thing opened at Ohio State minus 5.5. It has come down. It's now Ohio State minus 4 to 4.5, depending on the book. 47.5 to 48.5 is your total, depending on the book. The total opened at 49.5, opened with Ohio State minus 5.5. I think they expected more Buckeye action, and there's just been a lot of Indiana love here. My projected stat spread has Ohio State minus 4.32. My power rating has Ohio State minus 2. The last 4 weeks, it has Ohio State minus 4.5. Would you call this a letdown spot for Ohio State? Maybe. Because they just beat Michigan for the first time since 2019. How much does that weigh on the coaching staff? Are they relieved? Do they care about this game? You wouldn't think that would be an issue with the 1-versus-2 matchup, but, I mean, that's what we're looking at. These two teams have played the best of anybody all season. I mean, it's not even been close. Ohio State number 1 in PPA margin, Indiana number 3, number 1 in offensive success rate for Ohio State, Indiana's defense number 5, Indiana's offense number 2 in success rate, Ohio State's defense number 10, Ohio State not great against the pass, which is hilarious because they're number 31 in passing success allowed, but they're number 4 in PPA allowed per pass, number 1 in yards allowed per attempt, number 6 in QBR. Well, Indiana's offense is number 3, number 4, number 1 in those. They're number 2 in passing success rate. Fernando Mendoza is going to have his hands full. I will certainly say that. Indiana running the football, number 6 in PPA per rush, number 11 in yards per rush, number 5 in offensive line yards. Ohio State is number 5, number 5, number 6 in rushing success allowed, number 18 in offensive line yards allowed. So it's the defensive line for Ohio State that is, I mean, if there is a weakness, I guess that would be it. Doesn't feel to me that Matt Patricia's defense has a whole lot of weaknesses, though, so we shall see. I mean, we're kind of nitpicking here, or picking nits, as I guess they would call it. Indiana number 3 in points per scoring opportunity. Ohio State's defense number 6. On the other side, Ohio State number 2 in points per scoring opportunity. Indiana's defense number 1. Ohio State is number 1 in PPA per pass. Indiana's defense is number 25. They're number 15 in pass success allowed. Ohio State is number 3 in passing success rate. I don't think Indiana's got the secondary to hang with a healthy Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, Ennis, etc., right? I don't feel like they've got, and saying is absurd, just ridiculously accurate. But again, he has not been in one of these situations. Mendoza has not been in one of these situations. So you've got some new faces at quarterback, and how much does the environment impact them? I don't think it'll have very much at all, but we'll see. Ohio State looked good running the football against Michigan last week. Might find it a little more difficult this week against Indiana. Ohio State number 46 in PPA per rush, number 36 in yards per rush, number 12 in rushing success, and number 36 in offensive line yards. Indiana is top 10, really top 5 in almost all of these. Number 6 in PPA per rush, number 9 in yards per rush. They are number 4 in rushing success allowed, number 4 in offensive line yards allowed. I just don't see it. Ohio State number 2 in points per scoring opportunity. Indiana is number 1 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So, special teams, Indiana has the advantage, number 30 to number 68. Turnover margin, Indiana, number 1. They take care of the football. They generate turnovers. Ohio State is number 34. They do not generate turnovers. They're number 94 in takeaways per game, but they are number 4 in giveaways, so they don't give it away very much. Both of these teams inside the top 15 as far as penalties per game. Both of them are outside the top 95 as far as plays per minute. So, or pace, tempo, whatever you want to call it. They both go slow. So where is the advantage? What are we looking for? Five factors rank. Indiana number 2, Ohio State number 4. The advantage that you will find is that Ohio State is number 4 in overall talent rank. Indiana is number 46. I still think talent matters. Ohio State has a roster that is filled with insanely athletic, super talented dudes, and Indiana's got some. But I don't think they got enough. After watching this matchup in Columbus last year, I know it's completely different teams. I get that. I know Cignetti's awesome. I'm a Cignetti guy. Smoke them if you got them. Straight through the filter. But I can't do it. I can't bet Indiana here. I think Ohio State is immensely more talented. I think they want the Big Ten championship. I think both of these teams do. But I think Ohio State is a way better football team, which is nuts. When I say way better, I don't mean like crush them better. But do I think they're about a touchdown better? Yeah, I think that. I will take the Buckeyes. Give me Ohio State minus 4. Best number we can get right now. I don't think Indiana can hang with these guys. So I will take the Buckeyes. All right, we went through all 9 games. We spent too long on probably most of them. But let's recap it. Let's go through. Conference USA title. We're taking Kennesaw minus 2.5. Or sorry, we're taking Jack State plus 2.5. Maybe I should read the damn things right. That'd probably be good, right? CUSA, Jack State plus 2.5. Sunbelt, Troy plus 23.5. AAC, or I guess the AC, North Texas minus 2.5. The Mountain West, UNLV plus 4. Big 12, Texas Tech minus 12.5. The MAC, Miami of Ohio plus 2.5. The SEC, Alabama plus 2.5. The ACC, Virginia minus 3.5. And in the Big Ten, we're going with the favorites. We're going Buckeyes minus 4. That is going to wrap things up for, really, the regular season. By the next time we talk, my friends, we will be looking at a playoff bracket. We're going to be going over bowl games, all that good stuff. As I do every year, I will go over every single bowl game on the schedule right here on the channel. So make sure you are subscribed. It's free to do that. It helps me out tremendously. Gets me in front of more advertisers, etc. So I would certainly appreciate that. We're continuously trying to build this thing. Go over to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. That helps me out a ton when you sign up over there. Ah, what a year it has been. Indiana. A playoff that could have Virginia, Indiana, Tulane, or North Texas. How weird is this? What a sport. God, I love this sport. All right, that'll wrap it up. You guys take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, all of your tickets cashed this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment. Follow @GaryWCE on X. And check out the web store,